Karl Popper, I'm arguing, is looking at this same reality from a different angle and closer in. Terry was stepping back and looking from the vantage of the whole. Karl Popper also revealed this same tension implicitly. This contest, you could call it, I guess. And Polanyi talked about this too, this tension between who claims the state. And see, this we have to begin these conversations, which is why it's so frustrating that we've had these people giving us all we need to have these conversations for 30, 40, 50 years, and we still haven't had these conversations about is that a realistic strategy to engage in a contest for the mechanisms of the state? Can the people claim the mechanisms of the state? Terry offered insights that if Karl Popper had thought about, he may have changed his mind. This is the conversation. We have to start having real conversations instead of always breathlessly waiting for the next scandal for power to present to us to occupy our so-called reasoning process, which it isn't. It's just scandal mongering. I mean, it's voyeurism. We have to start realizing, of course, power, of course there's a surveillance state. Of course they lie to us. Duh. I mean, come on. And we the people know this. We have to somehow get better representation over the airwaves in order to not just push our thought forward, but push our hope forward. To know that there's some, you know, life out there in the universe that is on our side. So Karl Popper, from his different angle, was also looking at this tension by looking at this word nationalism. Because, as I said, power continually tries to dupe us by changing the meaning of words. And he describes in the second volume of The Open Society and Its Enemies, volume 2, The High Tide of Prophecy, Hegel, Marx, and the Aftermath. And he describes a really interesting episode in which Hegel was brought in by the Prussian emperor in order to quell an uprising in these things, Popper is saying even the nation state concept is extremely new. But I do want to reemphasize the point that we have to be helping Egypt right now, which means helping ourselves. If we can help Egypt forward this discussion of how do we achieve our freedom when the state has been captured by the global economy, which is just another word for power, we have to be talking about this all over the globe, because otherwise, we're going to be duped by these pundits who tell us to fix the state and that's the way. Let's just start working on the Constitution. Come on. And so Egypt is accelerating our thought process on this because, whoa, I mean, it's breathtaking. I mean, it's absolutely breathtaking. Two revolutions in the space of a couple years. I mean, So it's like, okay, here's our revolution. We got rid of the dictator. All right, now let's have this democracy. Okay, no, didn't work. Perhaps democracy is a con. And so then they went ahead and called the question, right? We don't want repackaged tyranny. We want democracy. And so now they got nothing else left to give the Egyptian people but divide and conquer. Oh, well, see, tribalism is rearing its ugly head. You know, that's because, you know, we turn against each other because of blah, blah, blah. Or because, you know, the world economy is in such a dilapidated state. There's scarce resources, so we got to fight each other, blah, blah, blah. So this is not Egypt's problem. This is the problem for global humanity, to see through this con nation state. Or what I'm arguing is because they've claimed the lexicon, we got to reclaim, we got to start developing earth terms that cannot be co-opted and undermined that way. That we cannot let them tell us that leisure is having free time. We cannot let them tell us that freedom is anything but freedom from scarcity, having the possession of our own bodies, being able to do what we want when we wake up in the morning, every single one of us. We have the means. The earth is extremely generous.